Let's turn again to Colossians chapter 2. I have a message this morning. It's been my prayer throughout this week that the Spirit will enable me to preach it and get out of the way. He will enable me to preach it in clarity and power. So that those who are here this morning who do not believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His majesty, will be compelled to run to Him. And at the same time, I trust and pray this message will, to those of you who believe, will be a comfort and an encouragement to your heart. Give you such assurance to know this, that you are complete in Him. That's the title of the message, Complete in Him. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae while he was in prison at Rome. At the same time, he wrote the previous two letters we looked at to the Ephesians and to the Philippians. This church had not been established by the Apostle Paul's ministry. We read there earlier in verse 1 of chapter 2, he's writing to those who had not seen His face in the flesh. They hadn't seen Him, and He hadn't seen them. But Paul had heard of their faith. Their love. He had a visit from their pastor, and he'd heard about their faith in Christ, their love for Christ. And Paul thanked God for them, just like he did the churches that had been established under his ministry. And Paul did not expect to be able to leave this prison. He expected to be martyred, and he didn't expect to be able to go to Colossae and to preach to them, as he had many of the other churches. But he had a heart that went out to them, that loved them, that wanted to give them a blessing. And the Apostle Paul, the great preacher of the gospel, writes to tell them, if you could just hear one message from me, this is the message that I want you to hear. Christ is all. He told them, I've heard how you believed Christ. You've trusted Him. You've looked to Him. Now you continue believing on Him. You continue to rely upon Him. Don't ever look anywhere other than Christ. Christ is all you need, because Christ is all. That's the theme of this letter to the Colossian church. Christ is all. He says that in chapter 3, verse 11. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. None of these differences matter. The only thing that matters is this. Christ is all, and in all. And that's the message of the gospel. Christ is all. Christ is all of our salvation. Christ is all of our obedience. Christ is all of our sacrifice for sin. Christ is all of our righteousness and our sanctification. All of our faith is in Christ. Christ is all in creation. He's all in providence of all the events that ever happened in creation, and Christ will be all throughout all of eternity. Christ is all of our doctrine. He's all of our preaching. He's all of our worship. Christ is all. I hope we get that. Christ is all. And Paul tells us, now you've heard this message, Christ is all. In chapter 2, verse 8, he gives us a warning. He said, you beware of preaching that is anything, that adds anything to Christ. You beware of preaching that is anything other than Christ is all. Verse 8, chapter 2. Beware, Paul says, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, Paul says, you beware of these false prophets, because what they're trying to do is spoil you. They're trying to rob you. We read about the kings of old who would go and they'd conquer a nation or a city or something, and they'd spoil the city, wouldn't they? They take all the valuables of that city, they take it back home with them, so it'd be theirs. It would add to their richness and their greatness. That's what false prophets try to do with the souls of men and women. They try to make spoil of you. It's not that they care for your soul, you're spoil to them. You're your gain to them, something that will enrich them or make them, you know, feel more important or greater because they've got a bigger audience. All you are is spoil to them. They try to rob your heart from Christ, Paul says, through philosophy. Philosophy, all that is the thoughts of men. Now, I'm telling you, the thoughts of men have no place in preaching the gospel. None whatsoever. Because the thoughts of men are always wrong. The true preaching of the gospel is Christ is all. And our thoughts don't enter into it. We just preach the word of God because Christ is all. And Paul says these false prophets try to steal your heart from Christ by using human logic. Now you remember this. The word of God is never to be interpreted by human logic and human reasoning. The word of God is spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. We interpret scripture not by human logic. Oh, that must mean this. No, we interpret scripture by other scripture. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Human logic does never enters into it. So we never say, well, you know, I think God is this way. Fill in the blank. You know, we say, well, I think God is this way. He loves everybody. I think God just wants to save everybody. I think God just, you know, He just wants to give everybody a chance. No. Human logic is wrong. God is who He says He is in His Word. What does God say in His Word? God says He loves His Son. And He loves His people in His Son. God says He's got an elect people and He loves them. God says He's got an elect people. He chose unto salvation and He sent His Son to save those people. And only those people. And when Christ came, He saved them. He accomplished the Father's will. He didn't come to try to save people. He didn't come so that He could make an offer of salvation. He came to save His people. And He did. And not one of them will ever be lost. That's the truth from God's Word. And I tell you a real key way you can tell what's truth and what is error. That truth from God's Word gives Christ all the glory. Where it ought to be, because Christ is all. Then these false prophets try to steal your heart away from Christ through what Paul calls vain deceit. I looked that word up, vain deceit. It means empty delusion. They're just delusions. They try to deceive you with empty lies. Lies like, oh yes, Christ saves, but you've also got to tithe. You've also got to be moral. You've also got to, you know, keep some certain religious ceremonies and traditions. Brethren, that's a lie that's empty of all truth and all life. Christ is all of our salvation. Period. Because Christ is all. Then they try to steal your heart away from Christ by preaching the traditions of men that started way, even in the day of our Lord. This had been going on for many, many years, and our Lord told those Pharisees, you're lying to these people. You're teaching them the traditions of men, the commandments of men, things that are not in God's Word. That's what a tradition of men is. It's a ceremony that men have come up with that is not found in God's Word. They say, oh, well, you know, this is what the church has historically believed. So, that, you know, this is our tradition. We're going to preach it. I don't really care what the church has historically believed. Show me that from the Word of God. That's what we believe. Now I'll give you a few examples of wicked traditions of men. Altar calls. That is a wicked, vile tradition of men. It's not found in God's Word. And I tell you why men do it. They try to get numbers for themselves. That's all they're doing. And when they do it, they give people a false hope. It's wicked tradition of men. You won't find that anywhere in God's Word. God's preachers preach Christ to you because Christ is all. And they leave you alone with Christ because He's all. He's going to save His people. Here's another tradition, Mass. Where they do some mumbo jumbo over the bread and the wine, and supposedly that wafer is actually turned into the body of Christ. And the wine is actually turned into the blood of Christ, and the priest dips that wafer in that wine and he sticks his tongue out and he puts it on it. And because that's actually the body and the blood of Christ, they say eating that atones for your sin. Now, that's so wicked. That's crucifying Christ all over again. I'll give you a homework assignment. You go find out what Scripture says about that. Crucifying Christ all over again. There's no need to crucify Christ all over again. The Lord's table, which we, Lord willing, will observe Wednesday night, is all a picture. It's a confession of our faith that we're saved through the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. There's no need for Him to be crucified all over again, because what does the Word say? By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's no need to crucify Him again. In infant baptism, it's a wicked tradition of men. Baptism is believer's baptism. Now, there's no age requirement for baptism. A child could be baptized, but a baby can't. Because this is the requirement for baptism. Do you believe? Do you believe? Well, you've at least got to be able to understand what you hear before you can believe it. A baby can't, but you know, an older person can. And when we believe, what are we confessing? When we're baptized, we're not baptized into the church or baptized into the body of Christ. Baptism is simply a confession of faith. That God's given me faith. That baptism says Christ is all. All of my hope of salvation is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And baptizing an infant to put him into the church is just a tradition of men. Doesn't do them any good. Then I give you one more. Religious holidays. Christmas and Easter. Those are just days. They're just days. With no religious significance whatsoever. And if you keep those days as a religious day, you're no better than a Jew keeping the Sabbath. Thinking it makes them better, more righteous because they keep the Sabbath. Those days, Christmas and Easter. I love them. I'm all for them. I'm all for Christmas. I'm all for Easter. But I tell you what those days are for. They're days to spend time with your family. To exchange presents. To eat ham and hunt colored eggs in the grass. That's what those days are for. They're fun. Have at it. But salvation is not a day like that. That's just a tradition some men have made up. That's not found in God's Word. What does God's Word say? Salvation's in Christ. Because Christ is all. Then Paul says these men, these false prophets, try to steal your heart away from Christ. They're going to make spoil of you by mixing Christ with the rudiments of the world. What are the rudiments of the world? All it is elements of this world. They try to steal your heart away from Christ with mixing Christ with what you do with things of this earth, elements of this earth. It could be being baptized. You know that? Baptismal, that's the rudiments of the world. It's fiberglass and wood put together. And we baptize somebody, we fill it up with water, which is just a rudiment of the world, and we dunk them under the water. Bring them back up, signifying death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But that doesn't do anything for anybody. Those are rudiments of the world. If you make baptism a condition of salvation, you mix Christ with the rudiments of the world. Some people say you gotta join the church. You gotta join the right church, a member of the right church before you can be saved. You gotta live a moral life. Brethren, that's mixing something with Christ, isn't it? And what happens when you mix something with Christ? Suddenly Christ is not all, is he? It's a mixture. Well, then it has to be wrong. Because what does God's Word say? Christ is all. All a sinner has to do to be saved is believe. It's believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It really is that simple. And you know why? Because Christ is all. Everything we need and everything that God requires us to be is in Christ. Look at verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now that verse is an amazing verse. All the fullness of God Almighty, all the fullness of the eternal God dwells in the body of Jesus of Nazareth. Scripture says the heavens can't contain God. Yet the fullness of God is contained in the human body of Jesus of Nazareth. The full nature of God. Everything that God is. You know where it's found? All in the body of the Lord Jesus. That means that Jesus is God. It means everything that God is, Jesus of Nazareth is. Is God eternal? So is the Lord Jesus. Yes, He was born, wasn't He? A child was born, but the Son wasn't born, was He? The Son was given because He's eternal. Is God omnipresent? Is God everywhere at the same time? So is the Lord Jesus. Is God all-knowing? Does He know everything? Of course He does. Then so is the Lord Jesus, because He's God. Is God all-powerful? Is He the Almighty? Of course He is. Then so is the Lord Jesus. Is God holy? Absolutely, God's holy. That's His chief attribute. Then so is the Lord Jesus. Is God gracious and merciful and loving to sinners? Oh, yes, He is. And so is the Lord Jesus, because He is God. Now, all those blessings that God has for sinners, does that interest you? Mercy, grace, peace, eternal life, does that interest you? You want me to tell you where they're all found? They're all found in Christ. Look up here at verse 3. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. On June the 21st, 2006, John Chapman made this statement, that these blessings are not hidden from us. They're hidden for us in the Lord Jesus. You know why God hid everything in Christ? All those blessings, you know why He put them all in Christ? So they'd be so easy for sinners to find. They're all in one place. They're all in one person. You're interested in those things. If you need those spiritual blessings, they're all in one place. They're easy to find. Go to Christ and you'll have them. Do you need God's grace for sinners? It's in Christ. Do you need mercy? Do you need forgiveness? It's all in Christ. Go to Him. Do you need eternal life? It's in Christ. They're all in Him. Do you need peace with God? Do you need wisdom? Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, go to Christ. I tell you the same thing Pharaoh told the people when they were starving and the famine was in the world. They all came to him needing bread. He said, go to Joseph. Joseph's got it all. Sinner, go to Christ. Christ has got it all. It's all in Him. He doesn't stop there. You hang on to your seat. Are you ready to hear an amazing statement of God's grace that should make every unbeliever run to Christ just as fast as you can? This statement should thrill and comfort the heart of every believer. It's all in Christ. And you are complete in Him. Verse 10. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now this word complete, it means to cram full. It means to level. I remember seeing my mom do this. She'd be baking or something. She'd scoop out a big old thing of flour or sugar or something. And it'd all be heaped up over the cup, right? And then she'd take a knife and she'd scrape it along the top of that cup. And it was full. You couldn't add anything else to it. It was full. It was leveled off. That's what that word complete means. You're full, so that you can hold nothing else in Christ. And it also means to satisfy. Now this same word complete is translated in other places in the New Testament as full. The boat was full of fishes. The net was full of fishes. Full so it can't hold anymore. That's being complete in Christ. By nature, we're the opposite of that, aren't we? By the nature, we're empty of everything that God requires, aren't we? We're empty of holiness. We're empty of righteousness. We're empty of any obedience. We're empty of any love. But in Christ, we're full. In Christ, we're full of righteousness. Full and leveled off so that you can't hold anymore. Perfect. In Christ, we're full of holiness. Full of obedience. Full of love. You're full. Other places, this word complete is translated perfect. Well, by nature, we're imperfect, aren't we? We're the opposite of perfect. Matter of fact, by nature, we're ruined. Ruined in sin. But in Christ, we're perfect. You are perfect in Him. Complete in Him. Now, I want to look at the words. Just very simple outline. I want to look at each of the words in these statements. You are complete in Him. I want us to see each of these words, what they mean, so that our hearts will be thrilled. Thrilled with Christ, and we'll run to Him. First of all, you. You who by nature are empty of everything that God requires, are filled with everything that God requires in Christ. And you know why you're full? You who believe, you know why you are full of everything that God requires. You know why? We looked at it in our lesson this morning. Because Christ is in you. If it's all in Him, and He's in you, you've got it all. Chapter 1, verse 27. This is what we looked at. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ dwells in you, you're full of everything that God requires. You who were born dead in Adam, are made completely alive in Christ. You who by nature are without hope and without Christ in this world have a good hope through grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. You who believe. Yet so often you're troubled and bothered. Your faith, it's so weak, it's so frail. Sometimes I don't even think I can see it. It's just, what's wrong with me? Faith is so weak and faltering. A stomach ache can make the strength of your faith go away. You are complete in Him. You're not complete because of the strength of your faith. You're complete in Christ, the object of your faith. Complete in Him. You who are in the middle of the fiery furnace of trial, of sickness, you whose hearts are sorrowing and heartbroken. You who feel so alone. You who are facing such uncertainty. You don't know where to go, which way to turn. You don't know which way is up. You are complete in Him. You don't know what's going on, but He's in control of it. You're complete in Him. There's no sorrow. There's no heartbreak. There's no loneliness. There's no uncertainty in this. You are complete in Him. You who believe are complete in Him. And you are complete in Him. You who believe right now where you sit are complete in Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I don't mean someday. I don't mean that you've got to struggle through this life and then you die and then you'll be complete. No, you are complete in Him right now. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now, right at this moment, are we the sons of God. Now, well, I know this. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. You can't tell I'm complete in Him by looking at me in this flesh. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Right now, you're complete in Him. I'll tell you what that means. You'll never be more complete than you are right now. Even in heaven, you will not be more complete than you are right now. I know you haven't experienced it. I know that. Believe me, I live it every day. I know we have not experienced being perfect. But our perfection is not in anything we do. It's in Christ. You're perfect. You're complete in Him right now. In the word complete. You are complete in Him. Now the word means perfect. It means that it's so full. You can't add anything to it. You who believe are full of righteousness. You're made the righteousness of God where? In Him. In Christ. You are so righteous, so full of righteousness, Eric, nothing can be added to it. You're complete in Him. And you'll never be more righteous than you are right now. If you believe. You're full of holiness. Nothing can be added to it. You'll never be more holy than you are at this very moment if you believe Christ. Right now, you who believe are full of spiritual life. We were born dead, but now you have eternal life. You don't have to wait to get that life when you die. You've got it right now. It's been born in you. You who believe are complete. Right now, you have everything that God requires to stand before His throne accepted. Does that give you boldness to call on Him in prayer? You have everything you need. You're complete to stand before Him in perfection. You already have. You're complete. You have everything that God has to give to a sinner in Christ. You're complete. You've got everything that has to do with life and godliness. Because you're complete in Him. Now you're complete. I hope I made that point. You're complete. You can't get any more complete than you are in Christ. You can't get any more complete than finished. It is finished. My people are complete. And I promise you this. You definitely can't get more complete by trying to add something to Christ. If you do that, you've ruined it. If you try to add anything to a full cup, you've ruined it, haven't you? If you try to add anything to Christ, you'll ruin it so that it will not only be incomplete, but it'll be empty. You won't be full, you'll be empty. If you add your religious ceremony and your religious tradition to Christ, you'll be ruined. You'll still be empty. Just as empty as the day you were born in this world. If you try to add your morality to Christ, you'll ruin it. You'll be empty of all goodness. You cannot perfect by your works what God's already perfected by grace in His Son. Did you get that? You can't perfect by your works what God has already made perfect by grace in His Son. So the believer doesn't want to add anything to Christ. Why would I want to do that? If you're complete in Christ, God's satisfied with you. God looks at you and says, you're complete. You completely have everything that God requires. And if you're complete in Christ, that satisfaction is a two-way street. If you're complete in Christ, you're satisfied with Christ too. So that you don't want to add anything to Him. I am completely satisfied to have Christ be all my salvation. I'm completely satisfied to have Christ be all my righteousness. I'm completely satisfied to have Christ be all my sanctification. I'm completely satisfied to have Christ be all my acceptance of the Father. Completely satisfied. You are complete in Him. You are complete through union with Christ. A sinner is in Christ when he's born again. A sinner is in Christ through faith in Christ. By believing that Christ is all it takes to save me without anything added for me because Christ is all. Our completeness in Christ is all in Christ and it doesn't have anything to do with anything that we do. Can I show you that from Scripture? I can. Look at Luke chapter 9. We are complete through union with Christ, who has completed everything necessary for His people. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That word accomplish is the exact same word translated complete in our text. Sinners are complete because of what Christ accomplished for them at Calvary as our substitute. God's elect are complete in Christ. We're complete through union with Christ, who Paul says is the head of all principality and power. Now you know this very well. Believers are the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. The believer, the church, is joined to Christ just like my body is joined to my head. Whatever is true of the head is true of the whole body. Whatever the head is, the body is. If the head is pure, the body's pure. If the head is sick, the body's sick. The believer is complete in Christ because he's the head. Our head has completed. He's accomplished all of our salvation at Calvary's tree. You see how it all depends upon Christ. Our head, not on anything we do. You are complete. Now, that's good doctrine. That's good preaching. If I do have to say so myself, I've preached this message to myself for the past several days. I believe that's good preaching. That's good doctrine. Now, in closing, I'm going to give you something. You put this, as Cecil Roach said, you put it in your lunch bucket, and you take it with you everywhere you go. I assure you, this will encourage and strengthen your heart. All right, I believe that. I see that from God's Word. I see that doctrine. I see a believer is complete in Christ. That being true, how should I go through the rest of my journey here below? How do I go through my life? How is this going to affect my life tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock out there on the job that I'm complete in Him? Let me give you two things. Number one, you'll have a happier journey here below if you don't desire anything other than Christ. If you really believe Christ is all, if you're complete in Him, you won't desire anything other than Christ. Live your life here below being complete in Christ. Look at verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Number one, how did you receive Christ? Well, I received Christ as a needy sinner. I received Christ as a sinner who needed Christ to do everything for me because I couldn't do anything for myself. That's good. I'm glad. Now you continue in that. You continue as a needy sinner who can't do anything for yourself, who needs Christ to do everything for you. You continue in that, being complete in Him. Secondly, how did you receive Christ? Well, I received Christ as a sinner that needed the forgiveness of my sin. I was a great sinner. I am a great sinner. I need forgiveness of my sin. I received Christ as a sinner that needed mercy. So miserable. Oh, I needed mercy. I received Christ as a filthy sinner that needed to be washed. That's good. I'm glad. Now you continue in that. You continue as a sinner who needs grace. As a sinner who needs mercy. You continue as a sinner that needs daily cleansing from Christ. Continue in that. Thirdly, how did you receive Christ? I received Christ as a dead sinner who needed life. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I needed Him to give me life. I'm so glad. That's good. That's the way you ought to receive Him. Now you continue in Him that way. You continue through this life knowing this. All this is not life. You continue through this life knowing Christ is your life. That's how you continue. Now seek to grow in grace. By all means, seek to grow in grace. But understand, growing in grace means that you never grow beyond right where you started. You still, growing in grace is simply growing in this, knowing I need Christ. I needed him a whole lot more than when I first believed. I still need him. When you grow in grace, don't ever get so high that you think, now I'm able to add something to Christ. Oh, that's not growing in grace. Grow in grace, repeating this phrase. Just repeat this phrase to yourself over and over and over again. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. Just repeat it over. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. If you've got Christ, you've got enough. Because you're complete in Him. Second, how should I go through my daily life if I believe this, that I am complete in Christ? Well, go through your life striving to see yourself as God sees you. Believer, how does God see you? God sees you as complete in Christ, doesn't He? Then you strive to see yourself the same way. Now, I know when we look at ourselves, all we see is sin and filth. And when you look at yourself, if you see something other than sin and filth, you better take another look. You're not seeing right if you see anything other than sin and filth. But now you take comfort. That's not how God sees His people. God sees His people in Christ. When God looks at His people, all He sees is Christ. And He sees us hidden in Christ. When God looks at His people, He doesn't see Christ and us. No. He just sees one person. He sees Christ. And He accepts His Son in all of His glorious holiness. And He accepts us in Christ. I know all we see of ourselves is sin. But God sees His people as holy. Blameless. That's the way Christ presents His people to the Father. Holy and blameless, without any sin, because our sin's been put away under the blood of Christ. God sees His people as complete in Christ, needing nothing. And you strive to see yourself the exact same way. Now, I got a scripture to back it up. Romans chapter 6. Brother Wayne read this in the study Wednesday night, and I about came out of my seat. This says exactly what I'm saying. You strive to see yourself as complete in Christ. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Now likewise, in the exact same way, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. See, you count yourself. You just like you count Christ. He died. He's free from sin. That's all the sin that was charged to Him. He's free from it. He died to satisfy the law. He's free from it. Now you count yourselves to be dead in the exact same way because you died in Him. You were raised to newness of life in Him. You count yourself. I know all you see about yourself is sin, but you count yourself to be dead to sin. You count yourself to be dead to the controlling power of sin. You count yourself to be dead to the damning power of sin. Sin can't damn you if Christ died for you. He already died. Now that's the way you strive to see yourself as complete in Christ. You can see that. That enables the believer to walk without fear. Isn't it wonderful to walk without fear? You don't have to fear the law. Christ put an end to it. You have to fear death. Christ put an end to death. And that enables, if you see yourself like God sees you, complete in Christ, that'll enable you to walk serving God out of love. Not out of fear, but out of love. You're complete in Him. Did you look to Him? You're not complete in your doctrine. You're not complete in your knowledge of scriptural facts and figures and memorization. You're not complete in your church membership. You're not complete in your good deeds. You're complete in Him, in Christ. How I pray that God would cause us to seek Him. He's all that matters, brethren. Seek Him. Seek to win Christ and be found in Him. Because you're complete in Him. Let's bow. Our Father, how we thank You for this precious portion of Your Word that we've just read. Father, I pray You'd apply Your Word to the hearts of Your people for Your glory, that we'd see something of the matchless glory of God our Savior, the empty, vile, ruined sinners are complete in Him. Father, how we thank You. We pray that You'd cause Your Word to bring glory to Your name and to comfort and assure the hearts of Your people that we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, without any works of our own, but all in Him. Father, cause Your gospel to take root in our heart, that we forget about all the deeds of this flesh and just rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for this food that we're about to eat. We thank You for these two dear ladies who mean so much to us that we celebrate their birthdays. We're so thankful for them. We pray Your richest blessing would continue to be upon them. We thank You for them. Father, we ask You to forgive us of our many sins. Forgive me at this very moment. And hear us and see us only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the confidence to know we can come before You and be heard, knowing we're completely in You. It's in the precious, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks and we ask these blessings. All right, now our ladies have prepared us some food. We're going to eat and have a time of fellowship. And Andrea and Janet, you two got to go through line first. I know you normally make sure we've got, you know, everything, but this time you go through line first and you eat. Sit down and eat and let us take care of it for once, all right?